the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
So your mom is in Manchester.
And she is.
Your mother is in Manchester and she's going to be 80. My mother is in the bedroom and she's 91.
Oh, wow.
And she's doing pretty good. I'm trying to get her to be a little bit more mobile, but she says for what?
Especially at the moment. My goodness.
At the moment. What has all of this COVID taught you, Claire?
So I think it's taught me that there are so many things that we do that we think are important and we think are priorities, when actually COVID's in a way stripped things back to basics.
Right.
And an amazing, beautiful thing for me has been being at home when my children return from school. Mm-hmm. They're 14 and 16, however, just going back to that experience of being there when they walk through the door has been a beautiful connection.
It is a beautiful connection just to be home, and I have dinner. Well, I always have dinner ready, but I have dinner ready for my husband, but to the anticipation of waiting for someone to come home and the kiss that you give them when they leave the house is so much more valuable now than it's ever been before. COVID has brought me really to appreciate every second, not every day, not every hour, but every second. I've lost so many people, whether it be COVID or not. I can tell you, I lost 10 people this year. And I just got word that I lost one of my brains. She died of COVID, 44, one of my former guests. Just broke my heart. But you are here to mend hearts and help people pivot through these uncertain times. Brains, let me introduce you to Claire Beckett McEnroy. And she is living in Qatar. Now I'm gonna have her tell you where Qatar is, because it's far away. I go to the far reaches of the planet to bring you the best and the brightest. And what her skill and expertise is coaching. She coaches coaches. She's even coached royal families who, I'm gonna ask her, what do you coach them on? You know, because they're not going to jobs. They've got everything, but they have to know how to run the kingdom, right? So help me welcome her to the Edge, Claire Beckett McEnroy.
Thank you.
Am I saying your middle name right? Is it Beckett? Beckett?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a story with that, April. First of all, thank you so much for the invitation to be with you. I've been following your program and listening, absolutely, and listening to your people for a long time now. And I think the work you do and the bravery that you speak with is needed in this world. So thank you.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you so much. That warms my heart. Because it does take courage to get out here and run your mouth.
Absolutely.
So tell me about you. I want to hear all things wonderful about you and how you show up in the world.
So if I tell you what's happening now and then maybe a little bit of how I got here. So I'm an executive coach. I train coaches. I'm also a coach supervisor. And I've gone to the top levels with International Coach Federation as Master Certified Coach and also Agile Certified Coach. The way that I work is with the premise of enabling people and organizations to achieve their potential. And that is actually, when I started having coaching myself, that is actually something that I realized has been with me for a very long time. So I was thinking today when I was walking about our conversation, and you said, you'll be asking me about me. And I'm thinking back to when I was a little girl in Manchester in the UK. with two sisters, and my dad was ill for a long time in and out of hospital, which meant that it was tricky. It was tricky for my mum, and it was tricky, you know, tricky for the whole family system. Mm-hmm. And I remember times of feeling a little bit lonely and riding around the cul-de-sac that we lived on singing. Mm. And that creativity, the singing, warmed my heart. And it's a thing that I really value, people tapping into what they love and their strengths. So I've always been someone who's volunteered. And when I left Brownies, which you leave at 11 years old, you know, the young people growing in their talents. And I then went on to be a young leader. Yeah. And that was supporting the leaders of the Brownie Pack, being with the young people.
So is that, that's equivalent to our Girl Scouts?
Absolutely, okay. Yes. Taking them on camps and so on. And this was, in a way, a start of me giving back. And then I went into teaching, which was really interesting because I've shared this before. So in a nutshell, school for me was really tricky because I had dyslexia and nobody knew until I was training to be a teacher.
Wow.
I left school with hardly any qualifications and I actually felt that I was an idiot, a wally, you know, practicing spellings and getting nowhere. And it was really, it got my self-esteem, it was demotivating in some respects. And then in other ways, it sort of gave me the challenge to, you know what, there's drive and I've seen other people from the same social class as me and women and people struggling really draw on their strengths and their resources to get through. It's about being more of yourself.
It is. And it's being resilient. You said something that I want to tap into and delve a little deeper. You said you help coaches and executives reach their full potential. That's all relevant because their full potential has now pivoted into something unknown. And so how do you help them reinvent themselves? Because this is a different thing for everybody. It's different for you. I mean, the way that you're going to have to teach, the way you're going to have to coach, the way you're going to have to introduce, the way you measure and monitor success. How do you help your coaches get ready for this, our future?
So one thing I think is really important is that coaching is a journey. It's not a destination.
Perfect.
So that mindset really helps. And whether I'm coaching teens on university choices or ultra high net worth individuals that do not, as you've said, need to ever work in their life, and yet you're with them and they're entrepreneurs with so many different things that they're working on, and and being leaders of their families and their lives. And it's a way of being with someone to partner. And here's where you are. And here's where you've connected to in terms of where you want to be. And what way can we journey there together? And then when we're there, and what's beyond that? So it's always just like the, you know, if you have a personal trainer, we work that bit harder in the gym.
Right.
It's that type of mentality. Right. And I'm a coach who really believes in coaching competence called fierce courage. And that is being open, honest, direct, transparent, and saying it as it is. Because that.
So that's like having the emperor, that's like having the emperor show up in the town square with no clothes on. You are totally vulnerable. You are totally stripped down, and that your nakedness is showing. And, you know, I'm glad to hear that that members of royalty want to have this training because, you know, when you strip away all of their wealth, they're just human beings like you and I. And they have compassion and they want the world to be a better place. And because they're fortunate, they want to build on that. And so, you know, when you're working with executives, the same thing. I'm finding here in America, the greed factor, you know, all about me. You look at our political system, they're not caring about the people. They're caring about self. And what people have to understand is that you don't live in this world by yourself. And when you are an executive, you're at the top level. But if you don't have a strong foundation and you're respectful to the people that you serve, because you are serving, the whole thing will collapse. How do you work with executives to teach them to value the support that holds them up, their team?
Absolutely. So you've mentioned so many important things there, April. One of them is that, interestingly, I used to be a teacher of business economics and careers guidance counselor, you know that phrase in the States, and then lecturing on MBA programs. And what I realized at that point is it's quite directive because you've got a curriculum to follow. And it isn't as imaginative and creative and tapping into the individual's strengths and needs. And that's actually why I retrained about 12 years ago in coaching. Mm-hmm. Because coaching's all about the person in front of you or the team or board in front of you that you're coaching. It's about where they're at, where they want to be, how fast they need to get there.
Right.
Tapping into the wider system. So what I mean by that is when you're coaching an exec, it's about them, of course. And it's what do your team or your customers or your shareholders need you to be coached on today? And using the word need as opposed to want.
Right.
Because they can be two different things.
Absolutely. Explain to us, what's the difference in business from a need and a want, besides the dollar amount?
So many organizations are actually contributing to corporate social responsibility. There's a climate agenda, obviously. And just recently, I've done a conference with some amazing speakers. In fact, your daughter next time, we nearly had her with us. And it's about
we're gonna get that going.
Absolutely. And the agenda was coaching and equity, diversity, inclusion, belonging. And for me, yes, organizations that are actually profit making, they can be like that, but also have the mentality and the values of the people in their organization and the stakeholders that they serve are all important as well. So it's not my area and I so want to learn so much more of it. Ethical capitalism.
Exactly. Because right now that's what people are investing in. I say it over and over again. They are looking for relationship capital and emotional equity. That is really what they want. They want to be stabilized. Money around the world is going to be in flux today, tomorrow. That does not make you successful. You know, you can meet on a meeting to see what you're meeting about. But when you meet on a meeting and you come out and you have something that is tangible and you can be impactful and insightful, then you are successful. Let me ask you, now, here in America, we have just turned the page. We have our very first female vice president, a Black woman or multi-race woman. And so there's high expectations for her, huge, you know, and some she's going to be able to achieve, others she's not. As a very high-end executive coach, what would be one or two things that you would suggest to a woman in her position at this time in the world?
So if I was speaking to her right now, the types of questions I'd ask, It'd be all about her and her place in the world. So things like, what way do you want to show up in the world? What impact do you want? Who are you being in this role right now as a role model in the US and for the world? So it's not just what you're doing, it's who you are being and how you're showing up. And tapping into that brings out things like values. And when people are aligned to their values, they are not only happier people, they tend to, as research shows, they tend to achieve more, have more impact, co-create possibilities with other people. So they have a bigger and wider impact on the world. And I'm so pleased for her. And she's amazing. And doesn't she look so happy?
She looks so happy. But girl, I don't know. That is just, it's carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. But again, like she says, she's the first one, but she won't be the last one. You know, we're in a new time. We're in the age of Aquarius, which is more feminine, more heart-centered. Women are being looked to really thrive. But what I see is there's still a lot of backbiting. And I hate to say that, cattiness. We need to get beyond that. We need to show our tenderness. We need to show our vulnerability. But on the flip side, you see that there's a lot of women that are really rising up and showing a lot more of their masculine energy instead of their femininity. How do women find a balance in that? You know, you can wear a pantsuit, but you can also wear a skirt and be equally as powerful. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think one of the important things there, well, there's many, but one of them is the fact that there's a thing called gestalt, and it's being more of who we are. And whatever title or position, if we're connected to who we are at a human level, that radiates out to other people. So sometimes people ask, can women have it all? My answer is, and I've done research into this as well, women can have it all and not necessarily all at the same time. And then the other thing is,
that's huge.
It's great. And then the other thing is, I did a presentation, I think it was the year before last, and it was for senior business women. And my title was How to Swim with Sharks. So what's the first thing that people presumed? They presumed the presentation was getting at men, the sharks.
Right, right.
Not at all. The whole presentation was centered around women supporting other women, giving them the ladder, giving them a push, enabling every woman around us to achieve their potential and being there during the thick and the thin. If that happens, and if she's a role model like that, then isn't that a beautiful way for the younger people in the world to realize that women together and men supporting women is totally the way to go?
Well, and again, you know, men have had it so rough, you know, here in the US with the Me Too movement. I mean, I don't even know how they get a date anymore. You look a woman in the eye and you tell her that her perfume smells good, or she has on a pretty dress and, oh my God, her claws come out. Oh, you're being this, that, and the other. So again, it's working in harmony because we need each other. You know, age, race, sex, gender, we are all residents on this planet and we need one another. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your book. What is in the pages of your book? What are people turning into?
So I've got a number of books, actually. There's two that are around the page. One I've got here. This is a reflective leadership journal.
Oh.
And it's done in a creative way with lots of stimulus. And someone can use this before, during, and after their coaching to reflect on their journey. There's also one for coaches to reflect as practitioners to become even better at what they do, which also goes with supervising coaches and supporting them to be resourceful, restore, and also to benchmark and keep those things alive. And the other book that I've got out is, you've just made me think of one that is almost even more important. The other one is about networking know-how. And the facet of that, the essence of that is authentic, strategic, and the biggest one, reciprocal networking.
That's right.
Growing together. But let me just share.
I can clean a room like a Swiffer. When it comes to networking, you know, I tell people there's maybe 1,000 people in the room, but I only need 5. You know, yes. And it's strategic, and it's working the room, and it's making that connection and listening, filling in and coloring in the white space, you know, letting another person tell you what their needs are and seeing how you can fulfill those. The follow-up. So many people, Claire, don't follow up. They get the card, they get the phone call, they get the email, and then you hear crickets. That is key. That is a warm lead, brains. When someone is there, they're open, they're receptive, they're ready to work with you, they're ready to hear what you have to say, and then you don't follow up, you lose all your credibility. Networking is important. And as you said, it's reciprocal. When I hear someone that is looking for an executive coach or a trainer, this is who I'm calling, okay? She has come into, you know, my family, into my tribe. We're working together. We have a connection now. We're no longer strangers. And so you have to do that, and you have to pay it forward, be it with your time, your energy, your spirit, your money, you know, sometimes with manual labor, but you have to give it back and you have to pay it forward. That's how we're designed. Would you agree?
Totally. And it's all about the quality of networking and not the quantity.
That's right.
So there's those people who, when we used to meet in person, give their business cards out and they'd seen the whole room. What impact were they actually creating? Not a great deal.
Nope.
What I used to do as a tip was take someone's business card, look at their name, use their name, and then during the evening, write a comment to remind me about them. And by asking them powerful coaching questions, what really makes you tick? Mm. What are you passionate about in terms of your work? Those things take us to beautiful, deep conversations. It's not about what's your job title and turnover.
Right.
That's here, doesn't go deep.
Right. I used to, I put numbers on mine. You know, I prioritize them. And I would, you know, and you never throw the card away. You go home, you edit, and you filter. Again, you write a little note on the back, how this person impacts you, how you might be able to fulfill their need. But don't just take the card, follow up. They're waiting for that phone call because you can't call them 2 weeks later. They've been to 2 or 3 other events. They don't know who you are. You know, you got to be serious about your business.
And it goes for networking online as well. Right. Some of the best programs out there are giving space before and after the actual training sessions or the experiential learning sessions. Let's have a coffee as we would at lunchtime. Mm-hmm. And that conversation, even diarizing the next day to follow up on those conversations. What way can I support you even more in the work that you're doing for the world?
Exactly, exactly. And that is so important. So you, let's talk about some fun stuff.
I do one more thing though, just before we go there? Did you notice I was fidgeting a minute ago?
Yeah, where's your book?
I remembered this one, which is just, oh my goodness, so important.
Schools.
And it's about the US. Debates and Issues in American Education. Wow. And I wrote a chapter in here with the fabulous Richard Hunter when he was working in Bahrain in the Middle East. And it's something that I would love to return to, because this was about 7 years ago. What's changed? What's worked? What hasn't? And what's the learning over that 7 years that we want to use in the future for diversity in schools?
I want you to go back and listen to an interview that I did with Dr. Jackie Taylor. She works with the G20 there in London. Great connection for you. But beyond that, she's working with Gen Alpha. She's working with 4 and 5 year old geniuses.
Wow.
And I'm like, wow. And what they can contribute to the world is phenomenal. And the whole trajectory of this learning is different because now we're homeschooling. And parents didn't sign up to be teachers, and teachers didn't sign up to be doctors or stand in front of bullets. So it's different. But what these children have to offer, what we have to do is learn how to feed that, extract that, and give them what they need, because these kids are brilliant. So I think that what you have in that book and what she has is the perfect marriage to where we're moving to and moving forward. What's the perfect segue into that 13 and 16 year old that you have? Are they girls or boys, one of each?
So they're both girls. And just recently we've had lockdown projects, and they both joined on, I've been volunteering, delivering online coaching competency training for young people. Now they were in two separate groups, and my oldest daughter, I'm so proud, she continued all the way 3.5 months to the end of the program with adults. And if every child could learn to listen more effectively, to take a step back and understand others' perspectives, if teachers had coaching competencies in all teacher training, that would have such an amazing impact on the world.
And that's what I tell a lot of these parents. I said, your child is homeschooling. Instead of shushing them and pushing them to the side, let them sit there with you for about an hour and see what you have to go through every day. See how you run the numbers. See how you provide customer service. See how you negotiate. These are valuable life skills. So don't shush them away. You know, after the call, get some feedback, have some conversation. What did you think about that? What do you think? You would be amazed and surprised at what they are telling you. So now you have these two young powerhouses, these two young dynamic women that are thrusting out into the world, and they're talking about, you know, coaching and all that. How are you helping them navigate what they want to do? Because, you know, when kids get 18, people think that's the magic number. Oh, 18 years old and you're grown. No. My daughter didn't move out till she was 28 because she couldn't afford it, number one. But again, they're moving slower now. What are you instilling in your children?
So it's really interesting, because I'm not perfect. And that's a massive thing.
Really? I don't
honestly. I know you're surprised. It's that thing of, I totally want to be a coach in who I am as a person. And sometimes, don't I just jump into parent mode and tell and advise, and does it work? Put to the hand. It's the last thing that teenagers want. So what I really try to practice is being there. And sometimes that's just in silence.
Right.
Being there for them, for me, is, I remember it from my parents and my grandmother. Being there is one of the most important things. And the other thing I absolutely love, April, is the naive questions that young people have.
Right.
It's fabulous, and it's learning for us all.
It is. So if you had 3 wishes, what would they be?
So I'm going very personal for my children to be healthy, happy, and productive, successful women in the world. Is that one wish or 20?
You know what? It can be one big one. You got two more.
Hey. I would love corporates to be happy. And I think that would ripple into their families, into the whole system, into communities. That would have a big impact, a positive transformational impact on the world. And the third wish, what would my wish be? I want to be, at the end of my life, feeling that I have had amazing experiences that have left behind a positive impact.
That's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. Is there anything else in life that you would like to achieve? Do you have future goals for yourself? You're working so hard with others, but again, what is the ROI? What is the return on the investment that you're making in others to yourself?
So I think one thing there is the phrase I use for my organization is enabling potential. And when we are in partnership in coaching and supervision, that means that we feel their achievement and that feeds me. So that's one thing. I think the other thing though is the fact that I've got many bits of my personality that I want to tap into even more. For example, I write, I play the drums, I swim, there's skiing. There's things that I want to balance that little bit more. And there's part of this that's an interesting conversation I had just recently where stepping into charging more enables me to tap into the things that feed me even more. But right. It also gives me more space to do the voluntary and philanthropic work that I really want to do.
It's that pay it forward.
Absolutely.
That pay it forward, you know, and that reciprocal. Well, you are such love and you have given me so much with your time, your energy, the work that you do, you know, working with high-end executive coaches, people with a lot of money, because, you know, they say that, you know, money is also equated to ego. I don't necessarily believe that. Sometimes it is vulnerability, you know, it's untapped resources. It's things that they don't know about themselves. It's things under discovered talents. And absolutely. You bring that out and you make it blossom. So thank you so much, Claire. You are such a gift. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you. They want to work with you. We want to work with you. We want to get a copy of those books. And, you know, really kind of do some deep diving because we're all reinventing ourselves right now.
So I suppose the easiest place to get in contact with me is Claire Beckett McInroy is my Instagram and also Dr. Claire Beckett McInroy on LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. I use it as a blog. And then the website is Beckett-McInroy.com. And you can see the executive packages, you can see the coach training, the supervision, and also the extra work we do as voluntary, supporting people to be at their best in our world.
Well, you are a shining star. And thank you again so much for being here with me and my brains on the edge. I absolutely adore you to the moon and back. Brains, please subscribe to my YouTube channel. Go and subscribe to the blog talk. You can listen to other edgy conversations. We have everything from soup to nuts. There's a lot of love. There's a lot of inspiration. There's a lot of coaching. There's a lot of down home, heart to heart conversations there too. So again, thank you so much, Claire, calling you Blair. Thank you so much, Claire. And come back and visit me again really soon. Keep us updated here on the edge.
I would love to. Can I leave everyone with a question? I have a question. What reason were you put on this earth right now? It's not a 1 minute answer. I'll leave you with that.
I know the answer, and I'll tell you later.